With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome, dear listener, to this week's Evo Stick Extra. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be previewing this weekend's league matches in the Premier Division. We'll also be talking title run-ins with Blyth Spartans' Tom Wade and the Northern Echoes' Craig Stoddart. All of that and a little bit more on this week's Evo Stick Extra.
Hello everyone and welcome to this week's Evo Stick Extra, pre-recorded live on location in front of a live ground audience here at Hurst Cross on Tuesday evening. I'm Ben Hughes and welcome to the show. Coming up later, we're going to be joined by James Hayes for a fixture preview this weekend. But before all of that, well, why are we at Hurst Cross on a Tuesday night? It's a delightful Tuesday evening. We're here for... well, a bit of a six-pointer, really. And with me, I've got Swamper. Roy Sewell's also here, but he's having a rest break.
And Alan Alcock's been to see us.
No, it's a who's who.
It is a who's who.
It's that time of the season. I mean, last night you were at Hyde United against Blyth Spartans.
Yes, I was.
And that was a celebrity fest as well in the non-league
indeed,
world.
It was very privileged to commentate and co-commentate with John Helm. And... 26-0, well, they couldn't come to the rescue. It could have been 26-0 in fairness, as Hyde were put to the sword certainly by a very, very impressive, very impressive Blyth team who didn't have to get out of second gear. 0-0 at half time. In the second half, they came out, they scored three goals in 7 minutes, and it was game over. Very, very entertaining to watch. Good quality footballing team. But tonight, after you and I were watching one of the top title games a couple of weeks ago, we went to watch Salford versus
Workington,
which was an absolutely superb game. Tonight we've got...
well, we've travelled just as far. We're Ashton under line for Ashton United against Salford City. It's third against fourth at time of recording. And, well, you mentioned the Blyth result. Hi, Roy, you can come in whenever you want, by the way. Don't be a stranger. Mentioned the Blyth result, but Stourbridge as well, they had a big win last night.
Yeah, they did.
And now, between fourth, fifth and sixth, Ashton, Stourbridge and Workington all separated by 1 point.
Of course, and they're all very good teams, and you know it's going to be very difficult for anybody to really sort of like say who's going to actually get into that fifth spot. Stourbridge have had a tremendous season. Hawley up top has been superb for them. Workington have been resolute all through the season, and no surprise where they are. Salford, as we know, have been absolutely outstanding this season. A bit of a blip, and they're coming good again.
When it comes to, we'll come to Salford in a second, but Ashton and Stourbridge beat them 3-2 on Saturday. That's a big result, that, Roy, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually attended that game and watched the, you know, basically the good and the bad parts of Ashton United. For the bad part, they started off very slow and ended up 3-0 down. For the good part, they showed a little bit of ball and commitment in the second half to actually drag themselves back into, you know, a position where they could have possibly nicked a result, whether it be a draw or an actual win. I noticed there's a few changes this evening, you know, in Ashton's lineup. And for me, they're the positive changes.
They're not going defensive, because like Salford on Saturday, they beat Grantham Town 5-0. So they're in a bit of form.
No, I don't believe that Ashton have gone defensive, to be honest. I think they've gone quite balanced with you know, a couple of attacking options where they can get out of that shape and you know, the discipline that they'll most probably need, you know, to get a result off Salford.
I think the other thing, though, to bear in mind is I don't think you can go defensive against Salford. They've got so much pace and quality around the pitch. I think you've got to try and match them, you know.
That's what Workington tried to do,
yeah,
though.
Well, they did, didn't they? I mean, they got back to 2-2, and then, you know, that's it. Well, it was 2-0, then that killer penalty, which was clearly never a penalty, but and that was really separated the two teams. But they went toe to toe, and that's what Ashton will have to do here this evening. I mean, Ashton, they'll fancy themselves at home because it's a lot smaller pitch, it's a lot tighter. Now, we know Salford use a big expansive football pitch to play some great football tonight. It'll be tight, it's going to be hard.
The surface is bobbly as well,
it is,
you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Again, that was
the same
small
lane, though, to be fair.
No, this is a bobbly pitch, this, believe me.
I'm trying to be fair to
there's bubbles and there's bubbles.
The Hurst Cross groundsman always comes in for a bit of, you know, banter on this show. I'm just trying to balance it out. When it comes to Workington, we're mentioned it was a split decision last week on the MPL show, but Workington got a good result on Saturday, beating Matlock 1-0. It's not the convincing scoreline perhaps that Stourbridge have had recently and Salford City have had recently, though, is it? But it's enough.
Yeah, it's enough. You know, all you've got to do at this stage of the season is keep picking up the 3 points and, you know, neutralising the position that they're in, i.e., like, you know, they're a playoff contender. And, you know, really, I mean, it's coming down to maybe six teams now, you know, that can actually make it in there. So, you know, they keep their heads down, they keep going as they are. These teams have to travel as well to Workington, you know, that travel scenario comes into it, especially on any midweek games that, you know, teams have got to have to travel up there.
Well, we'll take a breather now for this enthralling 4th, 5th, 6th battle that's going on at the moment. Obviously tonight is a big night as well for the top two. Mentioned Blyth doing the job last night against Hyde United. Tonight Darlington are travelling to Frickle Athletic, which is not easy.
Listen, that's a tough game. I mean, the good thing is, I mean, Darlington, they've got a massive momentum at this moment in time. They're a very powerful club, they've got a good depth in squad, and they'll relish going there. But Frickley, they'll relish it as well, because they've got some players. They beat Hyde 3-0 at the weekend, and Frickley is a place to go. You probably prefer to play Frickley on a Saturday afternoon opposed to a Tuesday night in Frickley. You know, it's a big expansive football pitch, nearly as big as Moor Lane, I would suggest. And at the moment, let's not see where Frickley are. They're 10th, the highest they've been in about what, 7 or 8 seasons. Yep. Fantastic for them. They'll be wanting a big scalp. You know, it's a Yorkshire club with a lot of history against a sort of, like, you know, a tease. Is it Darlington? Is it Tyne Tees area?
Say northeast.
Northeast. Well, okay, it's northeast. it's not. It's Tyne Tees, isn't it? Area. Tyne Tees area. It's just a big scout for them, and they'll be tonight. That'd be a really good game. I mean, if it was more local to us, that's where I'd be tonight, because it's a really enthralling encounter.
To be honest, on that particular fixture, I think Frickley maybe say 6 weeks ago, I think would have given them a harder game. But in more recent times, you know, over the last two,
it's that time of the year now,
you know, the last 2 or 3 weeks, you know, they've struggled to actually string results together.
It's booking holiday time, isn't it?
It could well be. Mind you, it's booking holidays time all the time in Yorkshire, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the thing is, Ben, what you've got to realise as well is the fact that they've got 4 games in 7 days. So are they going to pick certain games where they rest a few players, where they think, you know, we're going to need them for the big important game? Is tonight one of those? So it depends how the Darlington approach the game. So we've got a big squad, but you want to be playing players that have actually been contributing regularly and getting results. You don't want to change it around too much, because that can really go against them tonight. But, you know, being thrown in the encounter, and Darlington, as I say, they've been absolutely outstanding again. I mean, the division this season, really, you'd want 2 going up and then another from the playoffs, you know, and that would be, because the quality is absolutely superb. I mean, with the rules are the rules. It's going to be 1 going up and 1 in the playoff final, but whoever gets that position have deserved it this season, because it's been an absolutely fantastic MPL season yet again.
I'll tell you what, Swampy, those 2 playoffs are going to be absolutely superb. Ding dong. If they live up to the expectations, because, you know, there's always one team that'll fall away, as, to be honest, Curzon found out to their luck, you know, against Ilkeston.
Yeah.
So, you know, these things happen, but I think can't get the best teams, 6 of them all at the top, vying for what, 2 positions, you know. That's quality for the league and the level of football.
And let's not forget the teams in and around there as well that are just going to miss out, like Barwell, who've had a great season. You know, Ilson started off very well, mid-table now. Frickley has spoken about Hales Owen. There's a load of them out there that are all, you know, this season, you know, done well. The division has been absolutely superb. And at the bottom, well, wow. You know, there's a fight on there as well, isn't there, with clubs like, you know, that could be going from the conference and end up in Division 1 North. Thanks, Ben.
Speaking of vying for positions, it's now time for us to go find our seats somewhere.
Seats? Well, we don't do seats, Ben.
You know what I mean. At half-time, we'll cover the relegation battle, and we'll also give you an update of the scores at half-time, even though when this airs, you'll already know what the final result was. But we're nice like that. Anyway, we'll be back shortly with the relegation picture. So, half time here at Hurst Cross, and it's 2-0 to Salford City, but of course you already know that because you're listening to this on Friday and we're recording this on Tuesday. But anyway, moving along from the bleeding obvious, just to mention now for the relegation battle down the bottom end, and you both watched Hyde United last night against Blyth Spartan. No surprise with the result, I don't think, or the scoreline.
We'll hide themselves in the first 45 minutes. You know, they set with a 5-4-1. They were resolute, they worked hard, they kept the shape. They're a very young team, as we say, as we know. They've got two senior players, of which one wasn't playing. Pretty much academy players now that they've got left. And the new manager, Darren Kelly, you know, first time he's really get to work with him is on Thursday in a training session. But you could see they were holding back a tide that was eventually going to wave over them, and that was the case. And Blyth second half, as I say, they came out, you know, a bit of a rollicking, and they just played some marvellous football. But the first half they played some very good football, but Hyde defended well, and Hyde, in fairness, had the best three chances in the first 45 minutes. But Blyth, the quality, they've been there, they know what they're doing.
We're right to say that. Was Berkey right? He said a couple of months ago that he was slightly worried about Hyde United. I think the only thing saving them at the minute is that there's four teams below them who aren't consistent enough to overtake them at the moment.
No, but what I would say is that the four teams beneath them would possibly have a little bit more experienced players on the field that could get the odd 3 points, you know, in a fixture. At this moment in time, I don't believe Hyde do look as though they could get that win, you know, just to get them out of the, you know, give them a little bit of a reprieve more than anything. I mean, you're talking about really they need two wins almost immediately. Last night they played against a team that
they were never going to get a win with them.
No, they weren't going to get a win. The first 45 minutes really was Hyde's pinnacle by stopping them from scoring, but it was just a matter of time before Blyth dragged them out of position and caused them problems and basically exploited their inexperience at this level.
There was no pressure on Hyde last night because they had no expectations of winning the game, and they came out and they played with a little bit of freedom. But the big game is on Saturday for them, and when they play Ilkeston. And the good thing about that for both teams, I suppose, I mean, Ilkeston should be safe, although they've been on a downward spiral massively, is that it's two academy teams basically playing against each other, and Darren knows that. And he's going to set his team up, I think, to go out there and win the game. He fully expects to go out and win the game. He's got a little bit of history about the club. He knows a little bit about Ilkeston. He's been talking to other managers to try and get the experience, because he's not got the experience in this division.
Ilkeston beat Whitby Town last night.
They did,
by
yeah.
2-1. So that, it's clearly like...
That might make him safe, but that could help Hyde on Saturday. But it's a must-win game for Hyde, because if they do get beat, they are in it. They are right in the mire. And the way they've been going, you can only see them doing the Colwyn Bay, and I think Colwyn Bay now probably are a team that are going to be relegated as well.
Colwyn Bay on Saturday, they did beat Ramsbottom, which we said they had to if they were going to stay up. At time of recording, they are getting beat at the moment, but we'll cover that at full time in this one. But elsewhere down that neck of the woods, obviously there's Whitby Town. What about Stamford? 1-0 against Marine. They did get beat against Stourbridge, but it just goes back to what Roy was saying, really.
Again, you know, it's one of those games, you know, one of those teams that have been there or thereabouts. Last season they were, you know, just about stayed up. This season they've been down there for the vast majority of the season, and it's going to be very, very difficult, really. I mean, you know, there's about four or five games to go, and you've got to, this weekend is the pivotal weekend for me of this football season for those teams in and around the very, very bottom, and they're all going to have to win if they've got any chance of staying up and surviving this division. I think Hyde, out of that group, are just above it, are probably best placed. If they get a good result on Saturday, they're best placed, and they might just stay over. But if they don't avoid it, then who knows? Because, you know, no one's putting games together. No one's a good run together.
For anyone down that neck of the woods, all they have to do, hearing us talk, is point to Mikulova, who this time last month were doomed in a way, and they get a good result against Nantwich on Saturday, a cracking result, and time of recording, they're beating Colwyn Bay. So, you know, it is possible to turn it around, but it's going to be an interesting one, as Swampy says.
My feelings are, where Hyde's concerned, is their opportunity they let slip when they went down to Mikulova, and Mikulova turned them over. I thought that was a really, really big fixture for them to, you know, not get a result in. and I say not a result, you know, not to be beaten. And then all of a sudden, what you've done is that, I think that was their second run, their second win, Mikulova on the bounce. Then they've gone and got a decent result again. They're winning again tonight, so they've strung like, you know, four decent fixtures together there and come out with maybe dropping, yeah, maybe dropping like 2 points.
I mean, the one thing to bear in mind is, I mean, we look at the division above for a moment and look at where Telford were at Christmas.
Yeah.
Dead and buried, over with. Look at them now.
Yeah. You know, at Grantham and Alley.
Grantham, yeah. It's interesting to see teams if you get a bit of impetus, yeah. and it can take four games, and that's what all those teams at the bottom need, is four games to do something in them. It's very difficult for the team at the very bottom. I think that they've gone, and I think Colwyn Bay are gone as well. So there's two places up there now, and those teams have got to really think. Just the whole season starts now with those four games that are remaining, and they've really got to put a shift in and work and work and work. And it'll be interesting to see after Saturday, and I think that will determine where we're going to go with this division.
So just to let you know, half time scores at the moment, Marine 0, Mikulova 2 is the scoreline there, and Sutton Coldfield are the ones beating Colwyn Bay, so my apologies earlier for getting it wrong. Sutton Coldfield, slap on the wrist.
Oh yeah, they
me.
Won't like that, will they?
No,
Ben?
They won't. Just to confirm where Rami are getting beat at Matlock by 2-0. So there we go. We'll be covering those results at the end of 90 minutes here at Hurst Cross, but we're going to get a coffee now, so, and a hot Vimto.
I'll leave you to it then, Ben. I'm staying here.
Very shortly, we're going to be speaking about title run-ins with Blyth Spartans and Darlington, so don't you be going anywhere. My thanks to Roy and Swampy there from Ashton United against Salford. Just to let you all know, the score almost a week ago now was Salford City 3-0 winners against Ashton United at Hurst Cross. But of course, you already knew that because that was Tuesday night. And speaking of some shock results on Tuesday night, you might have caught us talking there at half time where we said Darlington were 1-0 up and cruising to a victory against Frickley Athletic. Well. James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, how did that match finish between Frickley and Darlington on Tuesday night?
It was a very, very big shock because Frickley came back to win it 3-1.
Absolutely. It was such a big shock that I just went, at the end of the match, I went, I'm turning off my dictaphone now. I've got nothing else to add. It's crazy time. It's crazy time at the MPL. So we've been saying it for ages that this league, even though we're into April now and the league is settling down in a way, there's still a few twists and turns to come in the closing weeks of the season. You can just see it coming a mile off. And that goes to show you the calibre of the sides in this league. And Frickley Athletic's one of them. I mean, we've been mentioning it all season how good Frickley Athletic are. Despite them being in ninth, they can beat anybody in this league.
Indeed so. Obviously, most of the top have still got to play each other yet as well. So moving forward, this is not going to be an easy time at all for any of the teams remaining. The ball's still in Darlington's court at the moment, but looking at the next two, this next midweek section, and maybe this Thursday night as well.
Yes.
Obviously, we're recording it on Wednesday.
Let me get to the science. Okay, dear listener at home. We recorded half of this show already in the past on Tuesday night. We decided we're gonna bring you a bit of live action, pre-recorded live action. And now we're pre-recording on Wednesday, which isn't very helpful because there's three Thursday night matches this week as well, which we'll be able to bring you the results for on Friday's podcast. But you know how it works. You know how it works. We're not the BBC. We don't do things live. We have to fit it around our schedule and our working lives, and here we are. So just to say where we are on Tuesday night, we mentioned Colwyn Bay, it being a really crucial game that for them against Sutton Coldfield. Sutton Coldfield, in the end, won by 5-0. Commiserations to Ramsbottom United. That 2-0 defeat away at Matlock Town has now officially relegated them. More on that, I think, coming up shortly when we do the fixture preview. And I think that's it for the results. And Marine 3, Mikulova Sports 3 in that relegation 6-pointer there for the teams just hovering above the relegation zone. There's no matches on Wednesday evening, but all the matches on Thursday, Darlington against Nantwich, Marine against Grantham, and Workington against Rushall. It's exciting time of the season. All three of those games mean something.
Yeah, indeed. So especially more so for Workington, who in the last week have dropped out the top six. you're going to be looking at Ashton, Stourbridge and Workington now for that final position, Nantwich dropping away. So the focus is going to be purely on what they can do at this moment in time.
But just to say, our little observations from the Ashton United Salford City match. Salford City, in my humble opinion, they put the wind up Ashton United very early on in that game, and Ashton United never really looked back. Salford City were dominant and well worth not just the 3 points but the 3 goals as well. And it's going to be interesting how Ashton United react to that result, because they did look a bit, you know, on the back foot all the way through that game. But we'll see. Anyway, it's now time to preview this weekend's fixtures in the league. And where shall we start, James? What's game of the day here? Oh, what's game of the day, do you think? There's all kinds of important fixtures. I'm going through them and thinking to myself, we should talk about that.
Couple of big ones, but there's two that was really catching my eye, and you'd be surprised where they're both down the bottom end of the table.
I wouldn't be surprised.
The first one, I reckon game of the day would be Whitby Town against Marine.
You know what, James? Both of them. You know what I was doing then, James? I was looking at that fixture and going, please say that one. And you did. Why have you picked that fixture?
Purely for the fact that both teams need the win to settle the boat. If Marine win that game, I think that's them completely safe, and that's them avoiding like the rush for the last week of the season. If Whitby Town win it, and the results at my second game I was thinking of go their way, you're going to have a nice little fight between the 19th to 22nd at the moment. If Whitby don't get anything out of that, again, you're looking at 3 points behind with 5 games to go.
You're probably right about Marine. They're currently on, at time of recording, they're on 45 points, which is it's a 7-point gap at the moment to the relegation zone. So you can imagine in another win, it's going to do the job, I think, for them. But we've had some correspondence in about this particular fixture. Kieran Sloan, I think that the Mariners will get yet another draw, this time at Whitby Town. Marine slowly but surely moving towards safety. He's predicting a 2-2 draw. And Andrew Snaith, he'll be on the show next week as our fixture preview guy from Whitby Town Radio. He says it's a must win versus Marine for Whitby. So we just must win. That's what he says.
Yeah.
And it's true. And it's going to be a really interesting game, that one, and one to keep an eye on Saturday afternoon. Let's stay with the bottom end of the table, shall we? And let's talk about this game here, which also includes a team up at the top end. Stamford against Salford City. Stamford are the ones currently in the fourth relegation spot. At time of recording anyway. And Salford City, I saw them play on Tuesday night. They're snug in the playoffs now. What do you think? They're quite dominant, you know, Salford. I don't fancy Stamford's chances, but you never know.
You never know, but looking at Stamford's last couple of games at home as well, they've played a lot better than they have done recently. Mm-hmm. Looking at the home form, 3 wins and a draw out the last 6. For Salford, again, if they're going to get home advantage for the playoffs, they have to win this match. This can be sort of Salford's Achilles heel, getting too complacent against these sort of teams. And this is where they need to be focused if they want to finish second and third.
And there's also Stourbridge, who are fifth in the league at the moment. And we've mentioned that ding-dong between themselves, Ashton United and Workington. Stourbridge this weekend are travelling to Michelover Sports. So it's another team in the playoff picture, playing a team trying to get away from this relegation picture at the moment. And, well, I've got to say, and I think we said it last night as well with Swampy and Roy, that actually Michelover have really surprised over the last couple of months. They've been excellent.
They have improved the last couple of weeks, but they've still been a team that haven't made the most what could have been, let's say. I mean, granted, they've got that little buffer going into Saturday's game where if they lose, it's not necessarily the end. It'd be handy not to lose, but that little 4-point gap between them and Hyde is nice breathing space. It's got the pressure off them and the pressure, so they can go into that game a bit more relaxed, knowing that Stourbridge have to get the result.
Just to cover off a couple of other teams down that neck of the woods, we said Colwyn Bay, if they're going to survive, they have to beat Ramsbottom. They did beat Ramsbottom quite convincingly, but then that midweek result against Sutton Coldfield, it's looking a bit bleak for them now, I feel, and they've got an away trip to Barwell on Saturday. It's with Ramsbottom now being officially relegated, it's a must win now, isn't it, for Colwyn Bay? They have to win matches.
Yeah, they're three games away from the drop at the moment, not five. They've got three games to save the season, and they need help from whoever's playing behind Stamford and Whitby. It's getting very, very tense, and I think the 7 points off Hyde and they dropped 7 points, they've gone. A case of they've got to do it now or never, looking at the running. Still got to go to Whitby Town, but that's not necessarily going to help him when the likes of Marie Mickelove and Hyde have got to play each other again. In my opinion, they've got five. I hate this terminology, but they've got five cup finals.
Hyde United are the team that everyone's looking at the moment, I feel. And you saw them on Monday night against Blyth. And we spoke in depth earlier about Hyde United against Blyth. And were they really expecting anything on Monday evening? Probably not. But this weekend, it's a crucial one. They've got Ilkeston coming over. We've had a few pieces of correspondence in about this fixture. Thomas Rothwell, it's a must win against Ilkeston for Hyde. And John Booth, Hyde United, win or not on Saturday, I think we're going down, oh no. But we'll win the league next year and come right back and sort out a few scores. Just to say, on that point that John Booth's saying there, teams don't often bounce back from relegation from the NPL, do they? It's taken Stafford a couple of years. And Drolsden and Witten, it's obviously going to take them a few years to get back.
If you drop into the north, it's definitely not an easy... Last couple of years, it's not been as easy as it has been this year. And teams don't, like as you said there, haven't bounced back quite as fast. Monday night, or with 26-0, I'm going to quote what the legendary John Helm said here. Yeah. Hyde against Blyth was men versus boys in regards to Hyde, but obviously Hyde are a very, very young team. This Saturday, it's going to be boys versus boys. And this is where Hyde have got to show what they are made of.
John Hager said, having played both Hyde and Ilkeston in the last few days, I'd say that this will be a good open game with some good youngsters. Both clubs will have a bright future if they can find a bit of an old head on the pitch to get the kids playing to their potential. And we mentioned this last night with Swampy and Roy, just the fact, you know, the likes of Adam Jones, he's injured at the moment, and that's clearly showing that with Hyde that you do need, it's all right having youngsters playing, but you do need an old head in there occasionally. You can go back to the mid-90s with you can't win anything with kids. That's not strictly true. You can win things with kids and Eric Cantona, that kind of thing. But anyway, so moving on, let's go back up to the top end of the table. Workington against Frickley Athletic. This is very important. Obviously, there's Thursday night fixtures we have to take into account. But based just purely on this fixture now, what do you reckon? Because Frickley...
Frickley will go in there thinking they've got an opportunity for the best finish they've had in years. And they will be absolutely pushing Workington for it. Workington, again, similar to how Stourbridge and Micklover are going, Frickley are going to be going there with nothing to lose, in my opinion. The only worst thing that can happen to Frickley is they finish 10th this season, which again for them is a fantastic achievement.
Absolutely.
See how they perform. But they've still got an opportunity to finish 7th yet as well. They're only a couple of points off Barwell. The pressure again will be on Workington. And when we come to the Ashton game in a second, this is how it's going to work to Ashton's advantage this week. Frickley Athletic, if they played the way they've been doing, I can see them getting a great result.
Moving along, Nantwich Town against Ashton United. It's a bit much now for Nantwich to get involved in this party, isn't it?
Yeah. The heads are still down from the trophy defeat. You've just got to look at the last couple of games for him.
It's been a good season, though, for Nantwich, yeah. Has to be said. A quick mention for the other matches taking place that really now don't really have much consequence, to be fair, but still... So all to play for that mid-table cup. Sutton Coldfield Town against Matlock Town. Peter Bibbings has been in touch to say, at home to Matlock for round two as part of our victory lap in celebrating the best season in the club's history. After the best win of the season last night, it would be nice to carry on, but will be interesting to see if Luke Stone stays on the pitch for the whole match without being sent off. Oh, that's good. It's good that they're creating some kind of jeopardy with that fixture. Something to keep an eye on. So good luck to everyone, including Luke Stone, for that one. Rush Olympic against Buxton. Matt Joyce has been in touch such to say. Bucks had a rest this week, so hopefully Rushall will be shattered come Saturday after their two games this week. Think the top 10 finish gone now for the Bucks. Very disappointed season. But then again, you have Bucks who are happy with this season just to stay in the league. The No Ambition fans, these are, along with our board. Oh no, Mark. Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Those are the views of Mark Joyce, by the way. Those are the views of Mark Joyce. So Buxton against Rushall Olympic, and Ramsbottom United are hosting Halesow in town, and Rob Lloyd's been in touch to say, Yelts travel to Rammer, who sadly have found themselves relegated midweek. A nice club, nice people. The only consolation, if we beat them, is that it wasn't us that sent them down, indeed. And just to mention, for those fans going to Ramsbottom, surely the steam train's running, so go via Bury tram stop, because you can get the steam train up to Ramsbottom. It's a nice trip up there, isn't it?
It is indeed. I can't wait. Not really in the wrong way, but I can't wait to go in the bank holidays.
That's right, folks, because, you know, James has got the option of a bus to Ramsbottom, but he's going to take the tram and the steam train because he's that kind of guy. We've mentioned Ramsbottom throughout this period of the struggles, both on and off the pitch, and we'll do that again in the season review that we were doing in May. Commiserations to Ramsbottom United, but you know that we love you. So someone has to get relegated, and unfortunately it's been yourselves. But don't worry, we've got a Division One show, and we'll be featuring you next season on that. And onwards and upwards for the club, both on and off the pitch. James, is there anything I've missed? Is there anything I've missed of note?
There is one thing, actually.
Yeah.
Just so Mark Joyce can hear it as well, more than anything. I like the looks of the footballs next season.
Weren't they good?
If hopefully, the great design is, hopefully, every club can get to pick their own setups. That'd be interesting rather than have the normal red and white.
And you know what, James? Despite my United roots, I like that City blue ball. I thought it looked sharp. Anyway. James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, sponsored by Evo Stick. How can people join in the fun and games that are taking place right now as we speak on the MPL Facebook group?
facebook.com/groups/the MPL or on Twitter at the MPL group.
Well, James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, thank you very much for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra, and we'll be hearing from you next week.
You indeed. Thank you very much.
So enough beating around the bush now. It's now time to draw our eyes up to the top end of the table and this enthralling title race, which has been, well, it's been a right ding-dong since Christmas. And joining me now to discuss just how much of a ding-dong it's been, we're now joined by the Blyth Spartans manager. It's Tom Wade. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. Not too bad.
I nearly called you chairman then. That's not quite right, is it? Anyway, so...
No.
So it's coming up to the proper end of the season now where titles are decided. How are you feeling, and how's the club feeling at the moment?
Well, we're pretty relaxed about it, to be honest. Like, you know, when the fixtures came out and when all the odds came out, I think we were expecting they wanted to get promoted, which, you know, from last season, we were a form side last season. You know, I think we lost about two games after Christmas, you know, so we came in. And a lot of people forgot all about it because Salford obviously came in, you know, with all guns blazing, and Darton, we've got massive revenues because of the crowd, you know. So we've come below the radar a bit. And we are pretty relaxed. The aim, you know, about a 5-year plan of Brian when I took over, and the aim's always been just to get in the playoffs, you know. We're there now, and that's the big thing. Now anything else is a bonus, you know.
There was a bit of a blip towards, around Halesow in town and the Sutton Coldfield match. But
yes,
you've solidified now. But at the same time, Darlington had loads of games in hand, and they were coming right at you from way back. How's that period been for the side?
It's okay. You know, we do understand we're going to lose games. It's you know, the Evo Stick premise that, for me, the toughest league in the country, you know. There's so many good sides there, and it's a very hugely competitive league. And nobody's going to go to the league without losing games. You know, Salford went through a bad spell. We went through a bad spell. Unfortunately, our bad spell was probably at the wrong time. You know? We won a bit of a run, and we played in Sutton on a 3G pitch, which killed us, really. Couldn't get our head around the pitch, and we didn't play well, you know. Sutton played exceptionally well and beat what deserved the win. So, you know, with in Hale's own done well, they came into our place and, you know, they just done well and scored one goal and held on, you know. So you've got to take that off the clubs. You know, we've got no divine right to win every game. But whenever we win, we lose games, we always come back and go on a bit of a run. So we've done exceptionally well. We're a very, very young side and we're delighted with where we are and what we're doing, you know.
And you mentioned the form going into this season. Everyone will remember those marvellous matches that Blyth were a part of last season in the FA Cup. And you came very close. I mean, you were coming from so far back because of the games in hand you had last season. Has it been a blessing a bit this season, not going on one of those cup runs and being really focused on the league?
I think that everybody would say we'd love a cup run. The experience is it's life changing to a lot of people. You know, Jerry Rivers got away at the Blackpool on it, and Danny Maguire got away, and Nathan Buddle got away. So it is great for the status of the club and just getting the club recognised. But the nitty gritty is the league, you know. And last season, we could have been in the playoffs, but we just had so many games at the end of the season. We didn't have a big squad. Well, we would have been in the playoffs last year. So, you love a cup run. We got knocked out first round, which against a very good Spanish side. But yeah, you would love a cup run, but it doesn't normally go hand in hand with doing well in the league, you know. So, it is a bit beneficial that we haven't had a cup run, but financially it's not great, you know.
And because you had that cup run this season, I suppose that you were able to plan this season a bit more. And what was the aim this season, promotion?
Well, the aim of the season was getting the playoffs. You know, what we've always said is that this side's been together for three seasons now, since I've been here three and a bit seasons now. And unfortunately, at the time I took over, the budget was down because the crowds were down. We're getting 200s, 220s, 250s. And the club, like every club in the league, other than the cup, will survive on gates. So we had to cut the budget a bit and go down the youth level. And we said that it would take probably four or five seasons to be a really competitive side fighting for promotion. So this season was to get in the top 10 and hopefully sneak in the playoffs. That was the whole aim, and we've achieved that. So it was always to be to try and get in the playoffs this season. It was never about winning the league. We didn't think we had a big enough squad to do that. And we still probably won't, you know. But it's a fantastic development of the players. And the players have actually knuckled down and they're getting better and better every season, you know.
One of those players, obviously, is Robbie Dale. I saw the goal he scored last week and the second one. It was absolutely ridiculous. But you've got those kind of players there at Blyth Spartans, and obviously the stadium up there is superb. It's a proper good non-league stadium. The setup's right, isn't it, for conference football?
It is. It's set up correctly, and you know, we lost Stephen Turnbull, who's our midfield general, just over Christmas. He had to go. He works away, and he had to go away to sea, and he's been there. You know, he won't be back in the season, so we missed him for 3 months. He's just as important as a full term as a Dalton. And, you know, missing players like that means people have to stand up and be counted, and the players have done. So we've got Robbie Deal, who's a legend of Blyth, but he passes on information to players, and he guides players and he develops players, and Stephen Turnbull is the same. The stadium's looking fantastic, the pitch is looking fantastic. We've got everything ready to go to the Northern Conference, but you know, if we're good enough, you know, time will tell. But to me, I think the players are more than capable of playing next level and level upwards. The problem is getting out of this league. You know, as Fylde will tell you and FC United, it's not easy getting out of the league.
No, 7 years.
honestly, it's some great sides who've struggled to get out of the league, which is, you know, you've got to give credit to Dalton. They've come in, and there's not many teams coming from the league below and walk all the way through the league. So, you know, they've done well, and you know, we are trying our best to be established in the league and try to be competitive and hopefully get up again.
Well, it's Skelmersdale United this weekend, making that trip up north, and it's been a superb title race, and Blyth Spartans have been up at the top throughout this period, and it's been superb. It's been a cracking season. There's four games left for Blyth, six games left for Darlington. And on behalf of all the listeners, Tom, we wish Blyth all the best going into this period, as well as Darlington, of course. But I'll say that when I interview Darlington in a second. But Tom Wade, manager at Blyth Spartans, thank you for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra, and you have a good weekend.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
So, lastly on this week's show, well, there's only one place we can turn to, really, to discuss Darlow, and that's the deputy sports editor at the Northern Echo. It's the welcome return of Craig Stoddart. Hello, Craig. How are you?
Hi, Ben. Hi, mate. Not so bad, thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show. We've been saying this for a while. The last time you came on was, can Darlington go on a run and make those games up and push up at the top end? Did you think that they would come this close?
I don't think anybody could have predicted the run of form that they went on, which is incredible. Eight games in a row they won until Tuesday. I think looking back, I think it's 21 matches, they've won 17. So it's on a great run of form. Obviously, Blyth are matching them. Blyth are doing well as well. I'm just a bit surprised Salford had a blip, because they aren't going to be in the top two. Top one, I don't think so. But it's tight, very tight at the top.
It's been a remarkable run, and even with that defeat on Tuesday night, Darlington is still the most informed team in the league. They're 4 points behind Blyth Spartans, and Darlington still have two games in hand. However, they have to fit these games in now towards the end of the season, and is that going to be too much of an ask, do you feel, or are they more than capable?
Yeah, possibly. That's the only thing against them, because they've got quite a small squad. They've been using the same, something like 14, 15 outfield players during this run. I've mentioned these 21 games. It's roughly the same 14, 15 players all the way through, and they've got to play six matches in 15 days. In the last 2 weeks of the season, they've got to play six games. That's what counts against them, because if they had to play these six games in 6 weeks, I would back them to win every single one of them. But it's not great having such a short recovery time. Play tomorrow at Grantham. It's their third game in, since Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, playing. And they have no team at any level of football. That's not ideal at all. That would affect anybody. So, fingers crossed from this end, we'll see what happens. But it's so tight, it's difficult to call.
It is difficult to call. But the other thing which I've only just noticed is the goals for tally and the goal difference as well. That at this stage of the season, and everyone at home, get your cliche bingo cards ready, that's as good as a point, isn't it? Because Darlington have been scoring a few more goals than Blyth have, and the defence is equally as good. So that it could come down to that.
Yeah, it could come down to that. With it being so tight, I think Darlington's goal difference is about six ahead of Blyth, I think, as we speak, six or seven ahead of Blyth. It was better than that, but then Blyth had a big win on Monday at Hyde, so clawed things back a bit. There's not much in it at all. I mean, we're having this conversation now, everything could change by Saturday night, because obviously both teams play Saturday and then Darlington play again on Tuesday. It's changing all the time, really.
Absolutely. And the thing is as well, you know you're in a proper title race when you slip up, and that it was a slip up against Fricke Athletic, it has to be said. And the reaction on social media, it was remarkable. It was almost like two Premier League clubs going at it, supporter-wise.
A bit of tension, you think? A bit of friction there? I don't know.
A bit of banter. Let's call it MPL Bants. Let's call it that.
Yeah.
But it goes to show you how close this title race has become now. And it's what the league wants, really. It's a cracking finale to the season.
It's brilliant. I mean, particularly for the team that wins. Whoever wins it clearly will have deserved it. You can't really argue about that. Although, it is an issue that Darlington playing these matches in such a short space of time, I think it'll have an impact at some point. Whether it costs them the title, we'll see. It's just the final table won't tell you that. Come the end of the season, that doesn't say the Darlington player six games in 15 days or nine in 22. Ultimately, you judge them over the course of the season.
Exactly.
But, we shall see.
The one question that came up in the MPL show last week was the team who's narrowly pipped to the post and finishes second in the league doesn't tend to do well in the playoffs. I can think of my own side, FC United, a couple of seasons back, where we were just pipped by Chorley, and then the semi final against Ashton United, it was like a wake. It was remarkable. Is the club ready for the playoffs just in case it is too much to win the title this season?
I think Darton would be, simply because of the experience last year. They finished second last year, if you remember, yes. Division below. They were just about pipped in the last week of the season. It didn't quite do enough to finish ahead of Salford. So second, which is obviously a disappointment, but went into the playoffs and then came through that successfully. So they would call on the experience from a year ago. They would say, we've done it once, we can do it again. That's the position that they would be in. So I wouldn't think the playoffs would hold any fees, really. The teams in the playoffs, clearly, will be not easy to beat. But at the same time, the playoff scenario, going into two games in the space of a week, that's not they've been there and done that. So they would feel confident they could do it again. But we'll cross that bridge if we come to it.
Well, I just said the same thing to Tom Wade up at Blyth Spartans. I'll say the same thing to Darlington. It's just been absolutely superb, this run-in. It's exactly what pundits and fans want, a close title race. I think Berkey said Salford were going to win the league by 10 points. No one wanted to see that. This is far better. And it's great to see. And on behalf of everyone who listens to this show, I'd just like to wish Darlington and Blyth all the best in the coming four to six games. But Craig, where can people go to keep up to date with all the goings on the pitch and off the pitch at Darlington and all the gossip and previews and that kind of thing?
Well, I imagine most of your listeners probably can't buy Northern Echo where they are. So obviously we're on the website, the Northern Echo website on there, and I'm on Twitter as well. I'm sure you can track us down if you haven't already. But I wouldn't worry too much.
See Stoddart Echo. That's what you need to do. Craig Stoddart, Deputy Sports Editor at the Northern Echo, thanks for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra, and good luck in the coming weeks covering this marvellous title race in the MPL.
All right. Cheers, Ben. Thank you, mate.
And now for your correspondence. And we'll start things off with the title picture. And Lucas Martins has been in touch to say, thanks to Darlow's win on Thursday, we have a big, big chance of winning the title. That said, we have a good home game v Skem, which I think will be 4-2 or something like that. But just to say, dear listener, Lucas doesn't say who to. John Haig, from a Spartans point of view, has been in touch to say, Spartans are still reliant on Darlington slipping up again. A great win on Monday night at Hyde has given everyone a boost. We just have to keep winning. No other options. And just staying with the Premier Division, Stampy's been in touch to say, a sound thrashing for Stamford at home to Salford this Saturday. That's the spirit, Stampy. And while moving on to Division 1 South now, John Sobe, realistically, Leek Town need to win all five of their remaining games to stand an outside chance of reaching the playoffs. Kidsgrove Comedy Club are first up on Saturday. That's not very nice, John. And as a tradition, this fixture will be won by the odd goal in seven. With both sides reduced to 10 men, it's always a feast of poor defending and handbags. To be fair, dear listener, if that's going to be Kidsgrove against Leek Town, I think everyone should be heading to that game on Saturday afternoon. Paul Griffiths, always a tasty game against local rivals Leek Town. Plenty of connections between the clubs. I'd settle for a 4-3 win, Jordan Johnson scoring the winner. Defences probably not going to be on top. To Division 1 North now, and Nick Harling has been in touch to say, Clitheroe seem to have peaked too soon and will be going to Farsley on the back of 3 defeats. Still, we're only a point off the playoffs, so come on you Blues. Ryan James Bedard, can Warrington go within a point of winning the league? Glossop stand in our way. Come on the wire. And the chairman no less. Toby McCormack has been in touch to say, a point or more for us against Glossop sets things up for the title-winning chance at home next week. Just to cover off Farsley, Ian Wilkinson, the way Farsley are going, they should give Clitheroe the points they need. It's that time of the year, isn't it, where confidence is high. All the best to all the teams with still something to play for. Oh, that's lovely. Phil Harrison, from a Vic's perspective, Vic's looking to cement their place in the playoffs with a third victory on the bounce. Been a crazy couple of months, all aboard the Vic's roller coaster. Liam Currie at home to Bamber Bridge, a side who have had an unbelievable drop in the last 12 months. Hopefully, we'll make it a third win, running after wins at New Mills last weekend and at Drolsden midweek. And Jonathan Wood, Scarborough shouldn't get anything at a resurgent Lancaster. Positivity, people! But since we won 5-1 the last time I went, I'm always hopeful. What a lovely way to end. And that concludes this week's Wall of Correspondence. Tune in next week for another wall littered with your beautiful, pessimistic, optimistic correspondence. Back over to you, Ben. Well, that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. We hope you've enjoyed this week's edition and you weren't too perturbed by the fact we were doing a bit of time travelling this week, recording Tuesday from matches, Wednesday from the comfort of my bedroom with James Hayes, but less said about that the better. And of course, on Friday morning with Tom Wade from Blyth Spartans and Craig Stoddart from the Northern Echo. Proper good title running over the next few weeks, and of course we'll be covering it here on Evo Stick Extra. Remember, you can follow the show on Twitter, that's at NPL Show, and you can get involved with all the discussions and banter and that kind of thing on Facebook, that's at facebook.com/groups/ the NPL. But that's it from me for this week's show. A big thank you to all my guests for joining me, and a big thank you, dear listener, for joining me as well. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.